Some may find the following disturbing. Discretion is advised.
It's the Mikey Bet Show, the Mikey Bet Show. Do you know the Mikey Bet Show? Come on, listen to the Mikey Bet Show, the Mikey Bet Show, the Mikey Bet Show. Do you know the Mikey Bet Show? Yes, the Mikey Bet Show, where the bookies get on.
Last week on the Mikey Bet Show,
Buckers in Green Bay always banging their sisters, telling me Justin Fields ain't shit. He can't do that. He a medium Lamron fucking quarterback backup. Shut the fuck up! All you motherfuckers talking about Justin Fields can't hit the long ball. Justin Fields can't get it done. His work ethic. Shut the fuck up! You don't understand that fucking Allen Robinson is begging him to be the number one quarterback. You don't get it. Any dull name shit.
If another one of you motherfuckers talking shit about Justin Fields, I'm fucking beating your ass.
I'm not fucking playing. Y'all know he's the best thing since sliced bread.
Bear down, motherfucker.
All right, guys, and bear down indeed. As we are back for another week of the Mikey Bet Show, we have a great lineup. It's going to be Fred Huebner from The Score and ESPN 1000. He's been on the radio for 40-plus years and has great opinions on the Sox and great takes on the Bears. We also have a surprise guest. His name is Mike DeFrisco. He will be coming on the Mikey Bet Show this week. He's stuck in an island somewhere near India or somewhere. Fucking crazy. So you guys get to hear that. We'll be talking sports. He's on a 10-hour time zone, so I'm just glad we got it to work. It was pretty fucking like a miracle. I was doing it while driving, so bear with us. I'm actually doing this right now while driving. If you could hear that cop car, welcome to Chicago. So what a fucking show we have. I'm so tired of Matt Nagy. I am so done with this fucking idiot. This is going to be his third quarterback, right? This is going to be Pace's fifth quarterback. That's unheard of. I don't know how in any world this is possible. Oh, obviously in Chicago it's possible, where the McCaskies are fucking clueless. Oh, Matt and Ryan are our football guys and you are the fans, blah 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 blah. Shut the fuck up. Nobody cares what you think anymore. People just want the Bears to be good. I'm tired of these idiots saving their job. Oh, we can't play next. It's like the Kanye thing. Oh, we can't drop Donda this week. We got to drop it next week. Do you guys even have it? Do you guys even have the plan? Like, dude, just drop it this week. Sorry, Kanye. Drop it this week, right? Don't drop it fucking next week, or don't wait till week four when it's too late to have Fields the starter. That's what pisses me off. So, speaking of Donda, did anybody see that meme? Where it was like, hey, I hope that Kanye could learn from Javon Wims and drop the album. And then Javon Wims retweeted it. You cocksucker. That's not funny. You are one catch away from being cut. I hope they cut you. I do not like you on our team. You can't even keep your mental stability and not punch people on the fucking team. Holy shit. Go to a UFC, right? This is the NFL. Cocksucker, bro. I'll never forget that. And then you drop the ball against the Saints. The momentum that could have changed. Who knows? The MVP could have been walking around onto his second game. But no, you had to drop the ball. It was a dime. That guy does not throw dimes a lot. Mitch does not throw the best passes. But he did. And that was on Javon Wims. Fuck that guy. It's going to be a good show, guys. Well, let's get into it now before I go on any more rants, because this is going to be a long one today. So first, we'll start out with Fred Huebner.
All right, everybody. My next guest I would like to introduce. He's been in here in the business for 40-plus years in Chicago. Works at ESPN 1000, used to be on The Score, and now has his show called Hubes, Views, and Brews. Fred Huebner, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Doing good. It's good to see you again.
Yeah, it's good to be seen. I had I had a minor health thing. I consider it minor. I had a, it's happened to me a couple of times. My heart was an AFib, which just means I had had an irregular heartbeat for a couple of weeks. And then I went and got a big bruise on my hand. I don't know if you can see it. And they do a thing called a cardioversion. They sedate you and then they shock your heart back into rhythm. So it goes back. It's kind of like hitting reset on, you know, your computer or anything else.
Yeah, so, it's like a shockwave, an extra shock.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it's just a, I've had that for a couple of weeks. I wasn't drinking much beer, which was weird. I tried to stay away for a couple of weeks, of not drinking any. So, but yeah, now I'm back to it, which is good. Last week I had a show, I did a show and I was drinking soda and stuff like that. So happy to be drinking beer again.
Well,
so,
I'm glad that you're okay. And I'm glad that you're back in here. I can imagine, I don't know what's worse, the irregular heartbeat or the not being able to drink beer for a couple of weeks.
I know. I'm one of those people, other people that have it. Millions of people live with atrial fibrillation. They take medication. I'm on medication too. But a lot of people feel it. As soon as their heart's off a little bit, they can feel it. My problem, I don't feel it. Mm-hmm. So I had an Apple Watch on. It's charging now. But my Apple Watch actually told me I was in atrial fibrillation. So I went to the ER. They said, yep, you're right. And they said, just increase your medication, talk to your doctor. And then a couple of weeks later, I got the shock. So I'm all good. Everything's fine. It's, there's two different things when you have hearts. Everybody's got hearts, I think. I don't know. You read some of the stuff and maybe not everybody's got a heart. But there's plumbers and electricians for cardiologists. The plumbers deal with the arteries and the clogged arteries and all that kind of stuff. The electricians deal with this kind of stuff, where there's electrical impulses in your heart that get off a little bit. So then they shock you back into rhythm. And so I'd rather have this than clogged arteries and bypass surgeries and stuff like that. So,
of course. I wonder who gets paid the bigger bucks. Which
I don't know. I would think the guys that have to cut you open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely. I would just think. Yeah. I've been cut once for when I had cancer back a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. Now I've got a cut that goes almost to there. So if I ever need one, they've already got one. So it'll be all the way through. So yeah. But other than that, I'm fine.
Good.
I keep telling people, I said, other than that cancer I had and a little, you know, irregular heartbeat, I'm fine. So,
Yeah. Well, it's good to see you it's good to see you overcome everything as always. Strong as a bull.
Yeah. Well, watching the White Sox on Saturday and Sunday got my heart going again too.
Just going to say that. How did you like that Field of Dreams game?
Yeah. The Field of Dreams game was awesome. And you knew it was going to be good, but I don't think you knew it was going to be as good as it was. I mean, watching Kevin Costner walk out of there. And I think when he started walking out, I looked at my brothers who were watching the game with me. I said, I don't think he realized how far center field was, because he just got walking and walking and walking. But with the music and him looking around, and then when the players started coming out, that was awesome. I thought it was really awesome. Cool. And obviously the way it ended with Anderson hitting a walk-off homer, I was a little concerned about fireworks going off in a cornfield. You know, thank goodness it wasn't real dry out there. So, yes.
Screw it.
Yeah. But I thought it was great. I thought they did everything well. I just don't know how they could ever do it again. It's like, you've done it once. How can you do it again?
They can't. I mean, literally, that was the best, most, if you can make it theatrical, that was the most theatrical performance you could see.
Yeah.
You know, making it Field of Dreams and everything. Just the Tim Anderson walk-off. And that's what I love about baseball. It's, you can't run the clock out.
Sorry, my beer was overflowing.
What beer are you drinking?
It's just a White Sox Golden Ale from Goose Island, but it's been in my fridge for a while. So, and I had it on its side, I think. So
screw it.
Overflowing a little bit.
I just had one of our listeners send me a Lucky Buddha beer from China. So
okay.
Sipping on that right now. I'm going to give it a beer review a little bit later. I want to talk about your beer reviews as well later, but let's go back into the White Sox. White Sox, last time we talked, I think the White Sox were plus 850 to win the World Series. Now they're plus 550 to win the World Series.
Okay.
So anybody who bet on that, you know, has made their money in the cash out option right now. Moving forward, now that we see the trade deadline's over, what do you think after the fact? Do you think that we have increased our odds and we've increased our chances to win a World Series?
I hope that their hitting's got to come around. I mean, it showed again this weekend, and the Yankees had they've got so many guys down. I don't want to face the Yankees when Gleyber Torres and Urshela and Sanchez and Cole and Chapman are all healthy. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were tough enough, right? You know, these last couple of days, and they're going to be tough. And the White Sox bats, you know, they were a team that didn't hit homers early in the season, which was shocking. And now they've been hitting homers, but not a whole lot else. So they need, I don't know what's wrong with Moncada. He's been miserable, and he hasn't looked great. They've moved him around the lineup. They had him DH a game the other day, took him off the field. I don't know what's going on with him.
Yeah, it goes back from last season, right?
Yeah.
Last season, it was at the end of the season or the beginning of the season, too. It was just, I thought that that hype video when he was dancing on the boat in the opening, right before the opening game, I thought that was like, okay, yeah, that'll change his mood. That'll change everything, positive vibes. Yeah, he just doesn't have it this year.
No. Hopefully he's a guy you're expecting to be your big run producer, you know, him and Abreu. And Abreu's doing it. I mean, Abreu's been doing it, you know, so well the last couple of probably the last month. He's been real well. I think his hitting streak's up to 11 or 12. And he's been hitting the ball, getting on base, driving in big runs. Eloy has come in. He's had, I think, 7 or 8 two-hit games since he's got back. Luis Robert's okay. Luis Robert's never going to be an average guy. He's not going to hit for average year on base, but he's going to get your gaps and your home runs and stuff like that. But you can't expect them to come right off the IL and start producing, even though Eloy is. And so they need help from other guys, other places. And I think the way Tony La Russa is using Andrew Vaughn, I'd rather see Andrew Vaughn up there each and every day instead of switching and platooning and things like that.
Right.
But Tony's always been a big platoon guy, and I think he's seeing that. I'd rather just see Andrew Vaughn out in right field every day if he could. So, but we'll see how it plays out. Lurie Garcia is down for a while. Adam Engel's down for a while again. So, you know, their injuries, they've had some, but not nearly as many as the Yankees have. But the one thing the Sox have is playing in that division. Their lead is so huge that they shouldn't have to worry too much about getting there. Mm-hmm. And their rotation, I mean, I love what I see from Lance Lynn. Rodon, they said nothing serious, just a little tiredness and soreness in his arm. So that's nice. And then other guys, Dylan Cease, 5 innings is nice. He looks good. He threw 103 pitches. You can't, right. You know, I guess in the playoffs, you can do that. You go to the bullpen. But I got some concerns. I've got a lot of concerns going forward. But like I said, the next 2 weeks with Oakland for 4 days, then you go to Tampa, then you get Toronto for 4 days in Toronto. It's not going to be easy. So see how they are. We saw how they played against the Yankees. They played close games, but they didn't do enough to win. Now let's see what they do on the road when they go to Tampa and Toronto. He's the fastball he gave up for the home run to Judge on Saturday night. You or me or anybody else could have hit. It was just a straight fastball down the middle of the plate. And that's the same thing Hendricks did in the 10th inning. And, you know, otherwise Kimbrel's been pitching well. He pitched well at the Field of Dreams game. I just don't know that you can just switch him and Hendricks right now. I'm not exactly sure what Tony's going to do, how they're going to work it out. They've got two guys that are both really good, and they've talked a good game, saying that it doesn't matter. We're going to pitch whenever they need us and all that stuff. But yeah, the straight fastball is going to go out as fast as it comes in. But you throw it to guys like Stanton and Judge, and that's what we saw over the weekend. So I think Kimbrel will be better against some of the other guys and the other teams he's pitching against. But I don't know how they're going to work it out. I'm eager to see how it's going to happen. I'm eager to see how Kimbrel and those guys pitch when they go to Tampa and to Toronto and how they do then, because both of those teams have big bats, good teams. They're all battling to play well all the way up into the playoffs. So I'm interested to see how this is going to work and how Tony's going to run it.
I feel like Tony will figure it out too, because, you know, I myself was doubting the hiring when they hired Tony La Russa, and I'm sure a lot of other people were, but we're seeing that Tony kind of is, you know, handling his team and handling all the players and everybody. I feel like he'll figure it out, especially come playoff time, because he can rally everybody. And I feel like he's a player's coach, you know,
yeah.
He knows what to do at the end of the day to get these guys fired up, to get these guys where they are and where they're going to be, you know?
Yeah. They all seem like they like playing for him, which is great, because that was the biggest concern. You got a bunch of 20, 23, 25 year old guys playing for a 76 year old manager who had in the past had been pretty stuck in his ways. But I think Tony has actually come in and allowed them to be themselves, which is good. And you see guys that walk off homers and they go over and hug Tony. And that's nice to see. So guys are getting a chance. You know that a guy like Brian Goodwin, if he was really good, he'd been playing for other teams and been a consistent player. So it's tough to rely on guys like that and Jake Lamb and Billy Hamilton to step up and do the job all the time. Plus, they've been getting hurt, too. Lamb just came back, and Hamilton's been hurt here and there. So, you know, they're nice guys to have and fill in, but you don't want to have to rely on them all the time. Same with Lurie Garcia. Lurie Garcia is a great utility guy, but you don't want him in the lineup 5 days out of 7.
Right, exactly. What do you think the rotation is going to be at the start of playoffs? I mean, obviously, it's going to depend.
It's got to be, I'm guessing it would be Lynn, Rodon, Giolito.
Yeah.
And then if they need a fourth, I'd have a hard time going to Keuchel. Keuchel just doesn't do enough for me. I think I'd rather see Cease give me 4 or 5 innings and then go to a bullpen. And the problem is, I think it'd be easier to bring Cease out of the bullpen because of the fastball he has than Keuchel, because Keuchel's more of a junk ball, curveball guy. He's not going to blow anybody away. So that might be in Tony's mind. But I think Lynn and Rodon would be 1 and 2. You go righty, lefty, and then you go back to Giolito. Giolito didn't pitch great on Sunday against the Yankees. He fell behind in counts a lot and things like that. He had threw 32 pitches in the first inning. I mean, you do that, you know you're not going to be around for long. I think he went 4 innings.
Right.
So that makes it tough. But I think they'll be fine with those three and then figure out what happens in the bullpen. They've got so many bullpen guys. I mean, when Tapera and Kimbrel came over from the Cubs, they're both going to be helpful. Aaron Bummer has pitched better of late, which is nice to see. And so their bullpen stacked. And I think they're all pitching to where they should be. So I think pitching-wise, they'll be fine. The bats are going to worry me until the playoffs, until they're over. The bats will worry me until they don't, because, right, you know, they can slump as, you know, real easy. They swing at a lot of bad pitches. And like everybody else in baseball, they strike out a lot. But because they swing at a lot of bad pitches, you get a sinker ball pitcher, you get a guy that's throwing sliders, he's going to slider them to death. And as long as they take the pitches, they'll be okay. It's a little bit tougher for them to do that when they're jacked up in the playoffs and trying to hit the big home runs and things like that.
Right, right. Especially my favorite thing about this year from last year is we're going to have fans back too.
Yeah,
and home field advantage, that plays a huge factor, especially when you get the field. I'm always going to call it the cell. Our people are also going to call it Comiskey Park, but
right,
you know, when you get to the cell, like, I mean, the atmosphere is just amped up, and when you got the crowd behind you, I feel like that's going to help. So let me ask you, if I had $50 right now, is it too early to take it to the window and put it on the Sox? Is it too early?
To win the whole thing?
Yeah.
No, not for 50. It wouldn't be. If it was a lot more, I'd say, yeah, it might be. But yeah, for 50, I'd say, no, it's not too much. See, I bet Rodon, I have Rodon, I have $5 or $10 on Rodon to win the Cy Young. So when he went down with the shoulder, I said, I don't want to see that, because him and Lynn are right there. We're right there, you figure. And, yeah, I mean, it's worth a chance, worth a shot. Hey, people have been betting the Sox and the Cubs to win the World Series forever. All the Chicagoans that go to Vegas for years. Now you can just do it on your phones and stuff like that. So yeah, 50-50 for the Sox too. When you said 550 now?
Yeah, it's the odds are 550 right now.
So yeah. It's worth it to have the ticket, you know. So I think everybody that is a Sox fan wants to make sure they have a ticket if they win. So
yeah.
And it used to be you'd actually have to have a ticket. Now it's just, you know, on your phone. Right. Yeah.
That's what they literally call the bet slip. So it's so weird to me too, because I'm so used to like just going get the ticket.
Sure. Yeah,
the bet slip is weird on the phone, but it's cool. It's cool.
Yeah.
I like it. I like to see the green light up.
Sure.
Another one I want to transition into, since we're talking about betting, the Bears are plus 2,500 to win the Super Bowl. I'm going to stay away from it.
Right.
But before this whole Aaron Rodgers drama, I was going to throw some peanuts on the Bears to win the NFC North. They're plus 260, I think. Right now they're plus 400, you know.
Well, I don't think you got much to worry about with the Vikings and the Lions. So It's going to come down to Bears and Packers. And if the Bears defense steps up, they'll be okay, I think. No matter who plays quarterback, I think they'll be okay if the defense steps up. Because, you know, I liked Eddie Jackson 2 years ago. The last 2 years, not so much.
Right.
Yeah. And go ahead. Akeem Hicks is looking for a new deal, so he's going to go out and play hard. Robert Quinn can't be as bad as he was last year. Khalil Mack, I would think, is going to be better. Eddie Goldman, Bilal Nichols, I think the pressure up the middle is going to be good. Alec Ogletree was just a pickup, and he's been, you know, he's been looking great in practice, and he looked pretty good in the game. I know it's a preseason game. I rarely watch him, or at least all the way through, but I did because of Justin Fields the other day. So Ogletree looks good. He looks like he's trying to, after being on three or four, this being his third or fourth team, he wants to show that he can play in this league. And I think he's showed a lot of people that he can. So that's nice. So the corners are going to concern me a little bit with Jalen Johnson, you know, the second year. And then they got Kendall Vildor is right now between him and Desmond Trufant is the other corner. And I don't know. That's going to be tough. So if the line doesn't get to the quarterbacks and you got a quarterback that can pick people apart, they can do that against the Bears. So I think the pressure on the line, like anything else, the pressure from the line and the linebackers and the outside linebackers is going to be so important for the Bears defense. But I got a feeling it's going to be pretty good. So they got a tough way to start going out to play the Rams with Stafford and the defense of the Rams bring out in Los Angeles in that Sunday night. Not going to be an easy one.
No, it's going to be a hard one. And yeah. I would be in favor of starting Fields just because I'm a homer and I want to see this guy play.
Yeah.
But the smart side of me and my brain says, let's put Andy Dalton in there. He's more experienced. The line is kind of shaken up. Let's put him in there for a few weeks. And if he doesn't pan out, week four is the bye week. Just put Justin Fields in week five.
Right.
I think that everybody's holding back the excitement and you know, everybody's excited for Justin Fields. Everybody's hyping it up. But even Nagy's trying to hold back his excitement for the guy. He's inviting everybody out to practice. He's got all his buddies, Doug Peterson. He had Alex Smith
was out there.
Alex Smith was out there. He's having everybody out there. Hey, look at this guy. Check this guy out. Yep. My problem is they're not letting any of the media, any cameras, anything released. You know, I want to see Khalil Mack fight Adam Shaheen. I want to see Alec Ogletree, you know, get these picks off. I don't understand what they're hiding. Maybe some plays, but they can't be that special. You're Matt Nagy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I know. So I think what we saw, that's something that's bothered everybody for a long time. They're so secretive. Like, everybody doesn't run these plays. Okay. They all run the plays. You don't want to show it to them. I can understand that. You just, you know, give them an opportunity to at least come in and show them some of the stuff. Because the Bears fans aren't just, you know, starved for video of Justin Fields. And I think we got a good look at him the other day. The first couple of series, not so good. But then getting the moving the ball downfield for the field goal at the end of the first half was nice. And then some of the things he did, he didn't seem to panic in the pocket at all. He was able to slide out of the pocket, something that Mitch was never able to do.
Right.
Things that good quarterbacks are able to do, just slide one way, slide another way, and get free at least to pass the ball or even a run. He had 5 carries, I think, for 33 yards. And the touchdown pass he threw, I mean, we could have thrown that. It was perfect. Jesse James was standing there wide open. All he had to do is not overthrow him, and that was perfect. But exactly. I'm eager to see how he plays. I'm willing to wait, like you said. But the problem is that the rest of the team will know who the better quarterback is. But I mentioned this yesterday on the radio. Once the season starts, the backup quarterback doesn't get snaps with the first teamers. He doesn't have a chance to do anything, which always blew my mind because it's one injury and all of a sudden he's got to play. But I'd asked not head coaches, but a lot of guys have played the game. And he said, there's so little time to put game plans in and to actually do that on the field. There's never time for the second string quarterback to get snaps in practice during the week. And so if that happens, I don't think that, unless Dalton is miserable or gets injured, I don't think we'll see Justin Fields till at least the fourth or fifth game. Again, if he lights it up again on Saturday against Buffalo and then plays well against Tennessee or plays at all against Tennessee, they actually have 2 weeks off after that last preseason game because they don't play on Labor Day weekend, which sucks too. I don't know why they don't play on Labor Day weekend, but they changed that about a decade ago, it's never made sense to me. But, you know, I think when the other players realize that Fields is better than Dalton, it's going to be tough for Nagy and Pace to keep him from being the starter. So if he can do that before the season starts, that's one thing. If not, then it's Andy Dalton until either he gets hurt or they start losing a lot. And then they just take a chance. Because if they're losing, Nagy's got to do something because, you know, his contract's running out. He can't be just letting things go with a quarterback like Fields waiting there if the team's off to a bad start.
Right. So you have a problem with three quarterbacks. You don't know who to start. I mean, obviously, you know, you're not going to start Nick Foles, right?
Right. I don't think Foles will be here by the season starts. I think someone will get hurt and they'll move him. I know it's money,
right?
But I think they'll move him somewhere because it was a bad move to have to pay him. But I think someone will give something up enough to bring Nick Foles in. So,
well, from a logical standpoint, somebody suggested this to me is why don't we wait till week five and we trade Andy Dalton if Justin Fields is the starter, because we can get a higher draft pick, we get this and that. But that's logically.
Right.
But Matt Nagy hates Nick Foles. They hate each other. They're not going to stick together. The shots that he was taking at Matt Nagy in the press conference, you could tell they were direct digs towards Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy.
Yeah.
Obviously he's not going to come out there and say it, but you know that they were direct digs, and I see this, like, they can't stand each other. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't know. I never liked the Foles move originally. I couldn't believe they actually went and got him. And I have a hard time believing that he's still here. And I'm sure that Ryan Pace tried to move him. He had to. But when they make a deal and the guy's making that kind of money, it's tough for people to make deals or make, they say, hey, you made the deal. He's your guy now. So you figure it out. But we'll see. We'll see how it's all going to plan out. Like I said, the offensive line's a big question mark. They bring in Jason Peters, a 39-year-old guy who can play the left tackle position because Tevin Jenkins hasn't practiced because of his bad back. That's brutal.
What is that?
And they knew he took himself out of the bowl game. So because he said he was resting himself and preparing for the draft. Well, maybe it was his back all along. And now he gets, at least he didn't get first round money. Right. But he gets picked in the second round and now they're looking for a guy. So, I did not like, I was glad Massey and Leno were gone. The one thing they both gave you, especially Leno, is he was always there. Even though he was not great, he was there. So now they got to figure out what to do. This Wilkinson they brought in, he's had the last 3 years, he's had like over 1,800 snaps at the tackle position at Denver. So he's not a bad substitute. And the one thing in the game on Saturday is their quarterback was never sacked. They didn't get tons of pressure on him. So maybe with this offense and the way the offense is going to run, maybe they were finding ways to protect the quarterback other than just with the line, moving the line. It was nice to see they allowed Justin Fields to roll out something that people had to beg to get him to do with Trubisky. So
the difference is between Trubisky and Fields, but look at next week, Saturday, we have Fields versus Trubisky. I'm actually going to the preseason game. One of my customers gave me tickets. And I was like, I'm not going to pass this opportunity to see Fields versus Trubisky. One of the biggest differences that I see, obviously, besides accuracy and deep passing and all of that, is the mental toughness. I feel like Mitch is a mental midget when it comes to – he just is always in his own head all the time. Every single time he messes up, that's it. You mess up one time, he's had the worst game, and there's no coming back. There's no redeeming himself. With Justin Fields – what did he say when he got the interception in practice? It's not going to happen again. What did he say during any game? Okay, when I have a mistake, I learn it and I fix it. That's what it is. It's the Michael Jordan effect. I'm not comparing the guy to Michael Jordan, but I'm saying he picks things apart. Yeah, you fool him once, shame on him. Fool him once, shame on him. Fool him twice, shame on him. Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying.
No, but there's no doubt. And the thing is, I didn't think he was being cocky when he said that the speed of the game was slower than he thought it was going to be. But that's the one quote that everybody brought up yesterday, today on ESPN, NFL Live, and all that kind of stuff. And I thought he was just being honest. I was surprised because I didn't hear the cut until I played it on the radio. And as soon as I heard him say it was actually slower than I thought, I laughed. And because nobody says that. And it was a preseason game. He was probably playing against some ones and some twos on the defense. But yeah, once the season starts, it's going to be quick. But he's got a lot of confidence. And I don't think he's cocky. I think he's just confident in his ability. And, you know, he played at Georgia, he played at Ohio State. You know, you're at two football factories. And in order to get there at those two places, you had to be a guy that was very confident in yourself. And I think that's a good thing. So we'll see how that all pans out. I'm not too worried about once he gets the job. He's going to have growing pains. Everybody does in the NFL. Everybody has bad games. It's funny. We had a caller the other day. He said, you know, running quarterbacks are one thing, but Lamar Jackson hasn't won the big one, you know?
Fourth year.
I know. But things happen. And you've seen running quarterbacks over the years. Robert Griffin III, you saw Michael Vick. Obviously, it was a little bit of a different thing there with Michael Vick. But you've seen running quarterbacks, and it's tough because they get hurt a lot. The one thing with Fields is he's got a really good arm. He's got a good arm. He can throw the ball. He can go deep. And I'm just eager to see how it's going to play out when he gets in there. Because I think they have guys that can catch the ball now. Darnell Mooney, they brought in a couple of guys that have experience, and Demir Byrd and also Marquise Goodwin. I like the Jesse James pickup.
Me too.
As a fantasy guy, Jesse James was always a guy middle of the year you picked up because your tight ends were down, and you pick up Jesse James and, you know, they'd be going, you know, Roethlisberger would be hitting him for a few touchdowns. You'd get some points. But so I like the Jesse James pickup. So with him and Jimmy Graham for the red zone, I think they're set there too. So, I mean, I'm happy. I'm excited to see what the offense is going to be. I'm not going to get down on the Bears. I'm not expecting a lot. So, right. Yeah. So if they can be around 500, that's what you expect. If they are better than that, they'll be surprising to you. So, yeah, okay. It'll be fun. I can't wait for the season to start. Now that we've played the first preseason game, now I wish the season started this Sunday.
I hate the next two preseason games.
Yeah, they're just awful. Me too.
I like how you said we have receivers that can actually catch this time.
Yeah.
And not punch and not box. We are signing football players, not UFC players. I don't know how Javon Wims is still on the team. It insulted me, especially when he dropped that last pass in the preseason game. It's like, dude, what do you have on Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy that you're still on the team? I need to know. So
yeah. Well, I thought they'd go to Riley Ridley a little bit more. This is like his third year, I think, now, right? Yep. So I'm hoping that they give him an opportunity, and then it's either a make or break for him. He had one catch the other day. See how he goes. But they do have some guys. They have options, which is nice. I didn't think they had many options in the last couple of years.
We have next year, we have a player going to the Hall. Well, he's eligible for going to the Hall of Fame. We have Devin Hester, who's eligible. There's a lot of takes on that, if special team players should be going in there. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm not a big Devin Hester to the Hall of Fame fan. I know what he did was special, but a lot of other guys, like people say Deion Sanders. Well, Deion Sanders was an amazing cornerback along with a return guy. Devin Hester couldn't play defense, and he couldn't be a receiver. Right. So he was one thing. But I know punters get in, and I know quarterbacks get in. That's their only job. So I understand that. He'll probably get in. What he did was amazing, but I don't know. I'm not one of the guys banging the drum for him to get in. Because he's a Bear, it'd be nice to see him get in. But we'll see. I think he'll get in. I was happy to see Jimbo Covert get in. Mm-hmm. Something Covert said 2 weeks ago at the Hall of Fame induction was really what the Bears have been lacking for so long. He said the line of Covert, Bortz, Hilgenberg, Thayer, and Van Horn were together for 7 years. That's what you want from your offensive line. That's why solid. Walter Payton was able to gain so many yards. I don't know how your quarterbacks got hurt all the time, but anyway, you know, that's what you need from the offensive line, cohesiveness, and the Bears haven't had that. So it would be nice to see. It surprised me that back in the day, when there were a lot of injuries back then too, that line stayed together for 7 years, and they were pretty damn good. So, you know, it would be nice to see if the Bears can get there sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, we'll see how it goes. We have a couple key pieces on the O-line, but it'll just take a couple more steps.
I like the guys that were free agents out of Notre Dame. Mustafa and Bars, I think, come in and they busted their tail. And Mustafa was the captain for that line at Notre Dame that had McGlinchey and Nelson. And so, you know, it's not like he hasn't played with some guys that can play the game. So I think that what I saw from him last year is there were a lot of times where once the running back, once Montgomery or whoever went through the line of scrimmage and got tackled, Mustafa and Bars were the first guys to get up there and pick him up, protecting their guy. And that impressed me. I know it's a little thing, but that was impressive to me. So hopefully that continues.
It's a little thing, but it's the little thing that the coaches look at too.
Yeah.
Right. Those are the little things that people like me and you, we notice as sports fans, people that watch, you know, the 22, you know, everything. Sure. We look at it and we take everything into perspective because that's how the coaches look at it. That's why I love watching Hard Knocks. I don't know if you watch Hard Knocks or not.
I watched half of the first one. I didn't watch the whole thing, but
it gets corny.
Oh, it always does. And the relationship with Elliot and Prescott, I thought was pretty cool on the first one when Elliot's stealing his bike and outside and stuff like that. It's fun. I watch it every year. So
I thought they were a little too friendly. I don't know. Where are you on that standpoint? Do you get a man another gift?
I never have. Yeah.
I can't see myself doing that.
No.
I'm also not a millionaire with millionaire friends. So I don't know. That's a different bracket.
But if you were going to buy somebody a gift, you would think you'd be able to get someone else to wrap it.
Oh, that's awful.
And you wouldn't have to watch wrapping on a YouTube video or something. You know, YouTube videos are good for fixing electricity or doing some plumbing, but wrapping a gift, I mean, come on, just fold things and put some tape on it. I've done that. I've wrapped gifts. I mean, but I can't imagine giving one to a friend. But, you know, like you said, millionaires, it's a little bit different.
Different tax bracket. I don't know how they work.
Yeah, much different. Yeah.
So I want to get into, before I let you go, because I know you have to go record Hughes, Hughes, and Brews. I want to talk about your Hughes, Hughes, and Brews. I want to talk about your beer reviews and just what your favorite beer is and how it's been with your beer reviews.
It's so weird because what I've been doing is I've been getting people that are in the beer business and brewery owners and things like that in. And usually every time I have one, I'll drink their beer or I'll drink something similar to that. Skell and Key Brewing here in Woodridge, back on Father's Day, had the tornado took the roof off their place and damaged their two tap rooms. So they've been closed ever since. But the beer community is an interesting community. They all bonded together and all the breweries have gathered up. They did a GoFundMe, which has raised ridiculous money for them. The insurance is tough to deal with because they're in an industrial park, just like most breweries or a lot of breweries, because they need the space for tanks and all that stuff. So Miskatonic Brewing and Black Horizon Brewing here at Goldfinger Brewing, a lot of them that are in my neighborhood. I've had a lot of those people on. Then I've had other people that are involved in beer. Today I've got Josh Noel, who wrote the book, Barrel-Aged Stouts and Selling Out. And it was about how Goose Island started, and then they got so big, they sold it to Anheuser-Busch. And so many of the craft beer fans were so mad at Goose Island because they sold out to them. So like your 312 is not made here anymore, and a lot of the other stuff is made elsewhere. But the one thing that Goose Island does do is they still are able to focus on barrel-aged beers and their Bourbon County beers and things like that. So Skeleton Key the other day, they're doing like a collaboration tour. They've collaborated with other breweries making beers, and they actually went to Goose Island to collaborate on a beer with them. So it's very cool. And I'm getting a chance to talk to some of these people and they're all excited. They all love talking beer. And that's what I do when I'm sitting at their brewery. So I figured just doing it on the podcast is a fun thing too. I like a lot of different beers. There aren't many I don't like. I'm not a barley wine guy. Beers go to a level and then you get barley wines and they're like 14, 15%. Mm-hmm. And it's just something I don't like. But the heavy stouts, I don't mind. I'm not a bourbon drinker, but I'm going to have a barrel-aged bourbon, a barrel-aged beer on my podcast today. I've got one from 2019 that I found one in my fridge from 2014. I'm not sure that's still going to taste good. Because they say they still are good for 5 years in the, you know, afterwards. So this one's 7 years. So we'll see how that one tastes. It was in rye barrels. And it's good. There's a lot of places making lagers now, which is interesting because everybody went from lagers, from your Miller and your Bud and everything else, to craft beers. And now there's people making American lagers, which is hard to make. It's harder to make that, to make them taste the same each and every time, where when they crank out individual beers, they can put more stuff in them, crank them out, stick a label on it. And then when it's done, they make a different beer. So it's a little bit easier that way. So, I mean, I started drinking Guinness as a stout, and then I went to all the craft beers. So the IPAs I like, some of the hazy IPAs I like. What did I have last night? I had a Migratory from Skeleton Key. So yeah, I drink a lot. I mean, not a lot at a time, but I mean, I drink a lot of different beers.
Yeah, what I have to say. Yeah, I totally get it.
I usually don't drink more. If I'm sitting anywhere, I usually don't drink more than three, even if I'm home. And because they're craft beers, a lot of times they'll be 6 or 7% alcohol by volume, as opposed to Miller and Bud and even Guinness. Guinness, a lot of people don't realize this. Guinness has less alcohol by volume than Miller and Bud. Theirs is 4.2. Guinness is only 4.1 alcohol by volume because it's dark. People think there's a lot of alcohol in it, but it's not. It's actually a light beer. So, but yeah, I like to drink a lot of different kinds, like to sample a lot of different things. So I love the IPAs. There's a brewery in Lockport's going to make a beer for me, kind of a West Coast IPA at Nick and Ivy. They're going to crank one out, and I think it's going to be done in the next couple of weeks. So we'll see how that tastes.
Nice. That's awesome. I have one to recommend.
You know, one thing, because you're into betting, I like betting English Premier League. It just started this past week. Mm-hmm. So soccer, not a lot of people know soccer, and I know it a little bit, but I don't know it like a lot of other people do. But I had one the other day. I bet a team to win, and I bet the over 2.5 goals came through. And like I said, I'm a cheap better. So I bet 5 at 120, whatever. But it's nice. It gives you something to make the games interesting. I bet on the Fire game last night. I went to the Fire game at Soldier Field. I bet the Fire to win, which was a stretch. They hadn't won back-to-back games all year, but I bet over 2.5 goals. There was one goal scored in the game. So I won the half and didn't win enough. But it's just fun. Just making it interesting, making every game a little more interesting. And the last week, just for the hell of it, I put $5 on 14 or 16 parlays in baseball. Both times I lost one game. It's like, okay, that's just enough to frustrate the hell out of you. And I know I'm not doing it as a professional gambler. It's just for the hell of it and the fun of it. But both times I lost, the Royals beat the Yankees in one game. And the other one I lost was like a bad team beat the Padres or something. I was like, what the hell? You know, you can never know. And baseball's tough with 162. So you really got to stay on top of it when you're wagering on that.
Exactly. And all the dogs have been winning lately. A lot of underdogs. It's been crazy. Especially if you have the Yankees as the underdogs against the White Sox, and you know the White Sox aren't hitting, it's kind of easier to put money on the Yankees if you're not a homer. You know what I'm saying? So it's hard. It's hard and to bet against your team.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just easier to bet guys to hit homers. Like today, Gallo already homered again. Joey Gallo, he's on one of my fantasy teams. And I suck in that too, because baseball fantasy sucks because it's every single day. And if you think football is difficult, so many guys go on the IL this year with COVID and everything else. It's so hard to just keep up with it. I get into it. It's like anything else. The best day of all fantasy leagues is the draft.
Absolutely.
After that, it's just messing with everything else. Everybody likes their team on draft day. But after that, you got to figure out how to manage them throughout the year.
Yeah, after week three, when you're 1-2 and you're trying to figure out who I'm supposed to drop.
Right.
You thought that you had locked starters.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I'm excited for the fantasy football season, too. That'll be fun. One beer I wanted to recommend to you. I just took one. I took one. Like, it's a pill. I just drank one. It is actually Patrick Manley's beer. Have you had the tight head?
Long snapper, right?
Yes.
I have not had it. I've seen it. It's made by the brewery up north.
Brewing Company. Yeah. It's in Mundelein. It's pretty good. We had it yesterday. Well, with our beer reviews, I don't know if you've ever seen our beer reviews where we just take it, chug it, and we say 10 out of 10. You know, every single beer review is going to be 10 out of 10 when you chug it, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, Patrick Manley, he just retweeted it, actually. He was like, yeah, it's crushable. But the beer was delicious. It was good after I had the second one. I got to sip on it.
Sure.
Hoppy, very hoppy.
Okay, that's good. I've seen it. I've seen it on shelves and things like that. There's a place by me called Origin Brew in Downers Grove, one of the bottle shops I go to all the time. And I know I've seen it there numerous times, different and not the same one. I mean, it's been selling. So that's a good thing. So that there's so many craft beers, and I'm just happy that so many places are still able to keep selling stuff, because the craft beer people love new stuff. They love taste and stuff. And then they fall in love with breweries, and they just keep getting stuff, whatever that brewery puts out. So that's exactly. A nice thing. Yeah.
Are you a chugger? Are you a chugging guy?
No. And I knew a guy that used to be able to drink a whole Guinness in 3 seconds. And I said, you know what? I drink mine in like 15 minutes because I'm enjoying each and every sip.
Yeah, right.
I'd rather enjoy the sips than chugging. I wasn't a chugger back in the day either. We were drinking Miller Lights. I would do it at times, but I'm not good. I get that gag reflex in the throat, and it doesn't help.
It's understandable. Yeah. One last question I want to ask you before I let you go. What beer, give me a beer review. What beer should I get for my next beer review?
Let me see here. There's so many good beers.
Give me three, actually. I want three because I'm going to go pretty good next week.
If you get a chance, you can never find any Hop Butcher beers. They're very, very good. Some of them are stouts. Chugging a stout's going to be difficult. If you can find Goldfinger. Goldfinger's a brewery in Downers Grove. They make an original lager. They make a Pilsner. They're very, very good. And let me come up with one. Alter Brewing's got for the holiday. It's a holiday for us Germans. Oktoberfest. They have a beer. Oh, yes. It's a fest beer. It's a German-style lager. It's called Fest Beer, F-E-S-T-B-I-E-R, by Alter Brewing. You'll be able to find Alter Brewing there. And yeah. Their Fest Beer is very, very good. A lot of the Oktoberfest beers are coming out, and they're all very, very good. They're a little bit of a darker, caramely colored, and they're all good. And you'll be able – they're chuggable, too.
Good. See, And you also said that stout is going to be difficult to chug, so I will take that as a challenge accepted. And see how that one goes.
Yeah, they have a beer. There's a couple of them out there, peanut butter stouts, which are great if you're sipping it. I can't imagine chugging one, but they've got one called Fat Bear, and it's really good, really tasty. Microphone Brewing had a peanut butter with strawberry beer. Really good to sip. I can't imagine chugging it, though.
I'm allergic to strawberries, so I don't
think. Oh, okay. Stay away from that one then.
This is the only one I'll stay away from.
Yeah, stay away from that one.
But I wrote all these down. I'm going to check all these out.
Cool.
Fred, it was a pleasure having you on. I appreciate you. You are now a recurring guest, which means
yes, I am.
You get a Mikey Betts t-shirt. I'm going to send it over to you.
And, make it a double X if you got one.
I got you. Of course. Okay. I got you. And I appreciate you on. Can't wait to have you back. And hopefully when we are back, we will be talking about the Sox when they are either champions or in the playoffs.
That'll be fun. Looking forward to it.
All right, Fred. Have a good one, right?
Thanks, Mikey.
Thanks. Bye. Well, what a great interview that was. I really love having Fred on, our recurring guest. Good guy as always. I know, Mando, you weren't here for it, but it was what do you think of Fred? You a big fan of Huebner?
Oh yeah, big fan. He's good at what he does, you know.
Exactly. Very good. Yes. So you have no idea who he is. But that's cool. That's fine.
Hey, isn't like the that tight end they just picked up for the Bears?
Bro, shut the fuck up. You're so stupid. A little snarky laugh over there. All right. I want to tell the listeners about our Mikey Betts Fantasy Football League. We are having a Mikey Betts Fantasy Football League in honor of Steve McMichaels, a.k.a. Mongo. We are taking half the pot and donating it to him and his family and his foundation just to help battle and fight ALS. We have big names like Philly Godfather, Frank the Tank, Gary Sheffield, and me, and many more. It's going to be a fun time. I'm a PPR guy. Are you a PPR guy, Mando?
It's weird if you're not a PPR guy at this point.
I always say that. Like, dude, if you're not a PPR guy, all right, so I have a friend. His name is Nick. Nick is a huge advocate for half-point PPR. What's the fucking difference? Honestly, like, I'm just asking.
No.
There's not.
No, there's no point to like half points or not even you playing full PPR at all.
Yeah, I love PPR, and that's what I'm going to always say. Let's just say I want to do a little thing. I want to do a little segment. Let's say you have the 7th pick in the draft. Okay, are you going to draft the 7th best tight end or the seventh best running back, or are you going to draft the 1st best wide receiver?
It's kind of tough. I mean, really, I guess depends on how much that 7th running back gets receptions. Because, like, for example, you know, as high as Derrick Henry is, who I don't see why he wouldn't be a top 3 pick this year. He doesn't get a lot of receptions.
He gets a lot of carries, though, bro. He gets a lot of workloads.
So it really does depend on the team. But, no, I mean, I'm much more of a receiver over a running back guy. But in most instances, if you have the 7th pick, probably should be taking a running back who's probably, I'm guessing, the top 5, top 6 running back at the time. Yeah, you probably got to go with that over.
Yeah. So, well, I'm looking at it right now. So what's projected is supposed to be McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, Kamara, Derrick Henry, Nick Chubb, Saquon, Zeke, Jonathan Taylor, Aaron Jones, and then Tyreek Hill. So Tyreek Hill's not even supposed to go in the top 10. If I see Tyreek Hill at 9, 8, 7, even fucking 5, I'm taking him. Yeah, I love the guy. There's no way. You know what I'm saying? You could even go back and you can go back 7 through 14 and you could finally – you could try to get Tyreek or Davante Adams if Davante is not off the board yet. There's so many options that you can use. For me, I'll never draft a tight end in the first 3 rounds and I'll never draft a quarterback in the first 3 rounds. I don't care if you're Patrick Mahomes. I'm not going to do it because we've seen nothing. Like his second year, I'm not going to say like – he's digressing at all. I'll never say that about Patrick Mahomes, but I don't think that he's going to have as great as a year ever as he did his second year or his third year.
I mean, I don't know. The guy's a fucking anomaly. I don't think he's hit his ceiling yet, but either way, no, I wouldn't take a QB, even him, that high. Take running backs and receivers as long as you can. Like, keep stacking those because that's what's really going to get you points. That's what's most important.
Right.
You could get a QB late. You could get a decent tight end late. Like, it's – keep picking backs and receivers.
So, don't grab a defense round 3.
That's tough to say. I mean, first 3 rounds, yeah, take a defense. Maybe take a kicker if you could sneak a top 3 one in, like, your first round or two.
Right. Right. That makes sense. Why am I drafting, if I have the number 1 pick, why am I drafting Justin Fields?
Because you're not brain dead.
Exactly. So Justin Fields, everybody, you heard that. Justin Fields needs to go number 1 in your pick if you have the number 1 draft, especially if you're in Chicago. If you're in Chicago, you don't have Justin Fields as your number 1 pick, you are a fucking trash human being. Just kidding. I'm not going to pick him if I have him.
I mean, you're not going to get a chance. At least in our league, you're not going to get a chance. I have the number 1 pick. I have his sticker on the board already.
We have Mitch Martin in our league. I always have a chance. I always have a chance, my friend. Oh, so I want to talk about that before we wrap things up. Mitch Martin, and this rant is brought to you by Manscaped. Mitch can definitely use a haircut. I don't know what's going on down there, but he could definitely try out the Lawnmower 4.0. And Mitch, you can use www.manscaped.com/, you can use that promo code MikeyBets. You will get 20% off plus free shipping. So Mitch and others, please go and buy that ASAP. Your girl will be happy. So that being said, fucking Mitch, bro, does not give a fuck. I'm telling you, he's going to be there at 4:30. Guys, our draft is at 3:00. If this guy comes here at 4:30, I'm kicking him out of the league. I'm letting my dog be in it. Okay. My dog will have the number 2 pick. All right, Capone or whiskey, I don't care. They're going to have to fight for it.
They could co-run a team.
Capone and whiskey are drafting number 2. They're taking too long. They're just disagreeing if they're going to take Tyreek Hill or a box of bones.
No, just insisting on box of bones. You got to give it to him.
Hey, the clock's running down. The only person who can understand him is Chris. In reality, it's just Chris drafting the team, but it's Capone and Whiskey who are the big guys, big names.
It's just like, here, I just paid the mortgage. They fucking live here.
Yeah, I mean, their name's on it. You're just one paying the bills.
I let their credit go to shit because I was pissed. All right. So, yeah, Mitch, I got a lot of responses for what we should do to Mitch and if and why and if he doesn't show up. So, well, here, let me read them. I have about like six or seven. Where's my phone? All right. So, the first response to Mitch us asking what we should do for Mitch always coming late and not respecting the league. First response is shoot him. Shoot him. Yeah, yeah, definitely. Number two, kick him out of the league. What kind of egotistical maniac doesn't show on time to an event where we have a very limited time with our friends?
That's true.
Yeah. Jeez. Holy fuck.
He's grandfathered into the league at this point. He's probably not going anywhere. I think shooting him is so far the top pick.
Hey, Mitch, why don't you worry about getting a haircut with that stupid fucking hair of yours and show up to the league on time? And maybe actually win. What? Maybe actually win a flag football league. JB. Who's JB?
Jacob Boyko.
Oh, probably. Cocksucker. Speaking of. All right. I don't want to read that one. That was not nice. That's from Alex. I'm not reading that one. So, yeah, I think we're just going to have to shoot him. Which is fine, or he could just not show up to the league. But we'll see how it goes. I think that we should just dunk him. I think that would be the best thing. Get a dunk contest and just fucking dunk him.
Be fun.
Yeah, but I mean, don't know.
I've been saying for years, we just tell him the draft or anything we ever do is like an hour and a half, like 2 hours before it actually is. And he'll be maybe a half hour late.
I love his excuses too. Like, dude, this guy he's about 26 years or 27 years old now, and his excuse will always be the same. I got fucking work. And it's so weird because the guy doesn't have one 40 to 50 hour job. He has about eight jobs and they're each about a 5 hour span. So half of his time is just driving. He'll be like, oh, it's not my fault. I have to work here 5 hours and then I have to drive to Westmont and work 3 hours here. And then I have to go just like work an 8 hour shift, you know, but
he's a grinder, man. He's got like 5-6 different jobs.
Well, the last straw for me is when he said, sorry, I was doing laundry.
Yeah.
Dude, you got 24 hours in the fucking day to do laundry. All it takes
that was before vacation too. We're trying to hit the road.
Oh, dude, we were supposed to go to Wisconsin Dells. And you know who was mad? Yeah, was Joey Toya. Joe Toya was fucking pissed. Remember he left? Nah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, he was making. I'm not fucking waiting for this dude, bro. And I was like, "Oh shit, Joe, take it easy." But yeah, so I think that's what we're gonna do. I think we're just gonna shoot him, or we're gonna kick him out of the league if he shows up late. Hopefully, Mitch shows up on time. But yeah, it's gonna be a fun time. I'm excited for fantasy football. I know all the listeners are excited for fantasy football. I know they're excited for the Bears to be back, and it's just fun, dude. I love when the weather gets colder. That smell is in the air. It's football season. The leaves are turning the other color. Hot chocolate, pumpkin spice motherfuckers are out there. You know, it's a good time.
And the white boy summer.
Oh, white boy summer never ends. It just goes into a different season, my friend.
That's fuck boy fall.
It's fuck boy fall. Hey! All right.
All right, guys. For my surprise guest, I would like to introduce a man who is on a 10-hour time difference and is in a whole different ocean. I'm not even in an ocean, but it's crazy. His name is Mike DeFrisco. And how you doing, Mike? What's going on?
I'm doing, you know, as good as I can be. I'm in paradise, but I'm trapped in paradise, so it's kind of like an oxymoron.
Yeah, exactly. So you are on day, what, 5 of your quarantine over there?
I'm on day 5 or 6 of quarantine. I've been here for 15 days. So, and I've got at least 9 more.
So,
and it's hell.
That's terrible, bro. I already told you, you should just off yourself now. Like, it's not even worth it.
Well, they won't. I got to make sure they won't let me drink any booze. So when they told me I had COVID, they brought me to my old room, and we were all inclusive. So I had a mini fridge stocked with, they give you 4 beers a day, a bottle of red, a bottle of white, and a bottle of rosé. So I emptied the mini fridge, put it all in my backpack. So I got it all here, and then I got my mini fridge here too. So I've got 8 beers, 2 bottles of red, 2 bottles of white, and 2 bottles of rosé, but they don't restock me here. So I'm kind of my last wits. I've got like my last 4 beers going, nice lion, but they also won't let me drink. So the guys are going to come and take my food order pretty soon. So I got my hat here so I can just do a quick little one of those. And then we're in business.
Dude, that's so fucking annoying. I would find the coolest looking dude and try to get, you know, hey man, here's a 20.
I did. I was making friends with these guys, the guys who take my food order. I've been, you know, cracking jokes and busting balls and just being guys with them. And I was like, yo, man, we say, can you give me a couple beers or something? And he was like, no, no.
Dude, what the fuck?
I was like, all right, man.
That's so fucking annoying, bro. I would kill somebody. I would kill myself. That sucks, dude. Being in there for, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer over here because you're experiencing it, but geez, I can't handle that. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And why are you down there? What are you down there for? Your honeymoon, right?
Yeah, I just got married.
Congratulations. And,
thank you. And yeah, we're supposed to be here for 10 days on our honeymoon, and 10 days turned into a month.
Now, do they make you pay for it or no?
So, yeah, they're charging us, and because they have to separate us because my wife tested negative. So she's right here. She's in this room right here. And so we can't see each other. If I stand, actually, she's outside right now. You can see her little head poking over. So,
oh, yeah.
So she stands on a chair. We can see each other, and that's our only form of contact communication. But yeah, they're charging us for 2 rooms.
Are you fucking, dude? Fuck that. I would. Oh my gosh, I'm getting so fucking mad for you. What?
Yeah, we'll see. We have to like file a claim, and we'll see how much travel insurance will cover. Hopefully, all or most of it. I don't know. A flight back on the 3rd was like $8,000. So that alone was like half the trip. So it was kind of fucked.
But holy shit. Dude, yeah, you might as well just start living down there. What's the language over there?
That's what I said. Everyone pretty much speaks English.
Oh, you're good. You're gravy.
Yeah, I'd say English is like the main language, and then like Indian is next. A lot of Germans here. I don't know, a lot of like Eastern Europeans.
What was the island called again?
The Maldives. But I'm on Kuradu. So it's like a small island in the Maldives is just a bunch of small islands. Like there are no roads on this island, no cars or anything. It's just a bunch of sand.
We were talking a little bit before the show. How many clocks do you think are there that work?
Dude, none of them work. This one island, it's so fucked. The guy like explained it to me when we got here. He was like, so here it is. What right now it's 6:45 p.m. So he's like, here it's 6:45, but everything is gonna tell you that it's 5:45 because everywhere around you it's 5:45, but this one island is 6:45. And it makes no sense. Like their clocks.
Nobody knows what that means.
I don't know. It makes no sense. So this one island, Kuradu, is 6:45, but the Maldives are 5:45. So I had some crazy time.
Yeah, it's the most stubborn island I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, I think
we're 6:45 here.
Started swimming for like 5 minutes, I'd be in 5:45. But right now it's 6:45.
Dude. So. Holy shit. Yeah, that's like Matt Nagy logic, bro. I don't understand that at all. Like
none of it makes sense. It
You can keep explaining it to me, but it's still never going to get to me. Just not going to.
How does a record make noise? Doesn't make sense. You can explain
it to me. Oh, shit. How does a CD make noise?
Exactly. How does that make sense? It doesn't.
Bro, I didn't even think about that. Oh, my gosh.
How is Andy Dalton the starting quarterback of week one? Doesn't make sense.
How is Andy Dalton the starting quarterback for week one? You like that lob? What a transition that was.
Dude, so, obviously with the time difference, everything is like noon games. I can stay up and catch. Like, those are like 10 p.m. here, so I can stay awake. And then, like, night games, like 7-8 o'clock at night games, like Sox games, if they're playing late, I can wake up early and catch those. But everything else gets played at like 3 a.m., 4 a.m. So it's like I've missed so much. And also, I don't get anything, so I'm just like trying to stream things. Uh-huh. But like, everything, ESPN Plus blocks everything from here. I have a TV in there with 30 channels. 11 of them are cricket. No joke. 11 channels of
cricket. Oh, what the fuck? I mean, nothing against cricket, but it just fucking sucks. Like, who's going to watch? That's terrible. Holy shit. Fuck that. All right. So let me ask you here. Would you rather stay there in your hotel for another 14 days, or would you rather have Andy Dalton be the week one starter? Which he will be, but I mean, what would you rather have?
Just so quick. I'll answer that question, but how is Matt Nagy, how is he able to get away with this?
it's job preservation. That's what it is.
But how is it job preservation when you're watching the game? Clearly, I mean, I haven't been able to watch any games live. I've only been able to watch, like, I watched the full games, but I watched them later. And it's like every single drive that Andy Dalton had is flat. It's dead. It looks horrible. And then Justin Fields comes in and there's a spark and he makes things happen. And he's playing with all the third stringers.
Well, he's trying to make a play. You know what I'm saying? That's the difference, is he's trying to make a play. Andy Dalton will just fucking fold.
Yeah. And also, I Nick Foles is better than Andy Dalton.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
No one's really talking about Nick Foles having the job. I think Nick Foles deserves it over Andy Dalton even.
Well, fucking Nagy has his vendetta against Nick Foles and just wants him off the team because of last year. You traded – that's what I don't understand about fucking Pace. How did you – you're on your fifth quarterback. That's not – that's unheard of. Mike Glennon, Mitch Trubisky, Nick Foles, Andy Dalton, and Justin Fields.
And then Daniels, if you want to count Daniels.
Oh, and Chase Daniels. Yeah, but he was a solid backup. Or not a solid backup, but he was for sure a backup.
He started like six games, something like that.
But the money that he gave these idiots, and that's why I think that Andy Dalton's starting, because you look like a fucking fool paying two backups $19 million and you have a rookie starting. You got to be so fucking stupid. And then we're struggling in all these areas where we couldn't pay a left tackle because we were paying Dalton 10.
Trade both of them and get a lineman and a half. Get three linemen or a lineman and a couple draft picks, something. I mean, there's still people who would want Nick Foles and want Andy Dalton. Nick Foles won a Super Bowl less than 5 years ago?
Yeah.
Something like 2016.
Yeah, 17.
17. So people will still pay for a Super Bowl winner who won within the last 5 years.
Dude. Everybody, he's got a fucking statue for the Eagles, right? Nicky Foles. Everybody knows him in Philly. You think Philly wouldn't take him back if Jalen Hurts isn't working out midseason? But my thing is why wouldn't you keep Foles as your backup? Like you said, Dalton is worse than Foles, right? So logically speaking, I would keep Dalton. Not Dalton. I would keep Foles as my backup, right? Yeah. And fucking try to trade Dalton because he'll have more availability and more trade value in my eyes. But yeah, like I said, go ahead.
This might just be like, I mean, I doubt it because I haven't seen Matt Nagy do anything smart or anything like this, but Matt Nagy just being like, oh, he's our number one. He's the number one. He's better. He's our guy, blah, blah. It might just be him hyping up Andy Dalton and then just to ax him, just to get rid of him, hyping him up and then trade him, get something.
That sounds way too smart and way too volatile for Nagy.
Yeah,
the guy's dumber than a box of rocks.
Yeah, that's crazy. I just can't believe it's hard to think that he was the coach of the year not that long ago.
His rookie year, coach of the year.
That's remarkable. I remember that, like, even after the double doink and we lost, like, I was like, it doesn't even matter. We're going to win at least two Super Bowls in the next 5 years. We have the coach of the year. We have the best defense. We have a young quarterback. And now here we are. We're back at square one with a coach who I'd rather see dead than coach the Bears.
Right. Exactly. The guy is shot. He's a control freak. And you just look at all these bad draft picks and all these bad moves that Pace has made. And he's gave up so much just for mediocrity. So now we're just in this fucking purgatory of mediocrity. And it's like, all right, so what are we even doing here? Are we going to actually get anything done? And their whole mindset is, no, we're going to win a Super Bowl. Do you guys look outside of Halas Hall, you cocksuckers? I don't understand, like, what you guys aren't seeing. What are you guys not understanding that everybody else sees? Andy Dalton sucks dick. Nice guy, but he sucks. And, like, honestly, I don't understand.
The red hair for him, too, it does it for me. I think he's a handsome son of a gun.
Yeah, of course, he's handsome, but so is Justin Fields. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Nicky Foles is not that handsome. He's an ugly motherfucker.
Nick Foles is not a good-looking guy. He looks like John Heder if John Heder, like, tried to be good-looking.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
John Heder gave it his all.
Just try. Mm-hmm.
That's awful. That's, like, the worst compliment I think you can ever say to somebody. Holy shit.
I don't know. We always tell Johnny, our friend Johnny, that the girls he brings are fours on their wedding days. And I think that's the meanest compliment you can give someone.
Yeah.
Just that's the meanest thing you can say.
Poor guy. Holy shit. You don't say that. Oh, I'll never forget when he made out with that cow at the bar. Holy shit. She was trying to talk to him. Wait, he's not dating her. Is he?
No. Johnny definitely does not have any girlfriends.
Good. Thank God. Because, dude, I'll never forget. The girl's, like, trying to talk to him. She's like, so what's your name? He just fucking dug in her mouth, stuck his tongue all the way down there. And I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's gross, dude. That dude's gross.
Yeah, man. She was a fucking hog, too. Like, I was like, bro, what is this guy doing? No disrespect to the fat girls, but you know what I'm saying?
Fat girls need love, too. Just not from me.
Not for me either. Fuck that. Holy shit. I mean, I'm a big boy, obviously, but I don't need a big girl. You know what I'm saying? I'm okay.
Yeah, you just got engaged too, didn't you?
I just got engaged, yes, to my beautiful fiance, Kayla. Shout out, Kayla. Maybe like Shout 4 months ago. Yeah, we just picked out a venue. It's nice. I'm excited. So see where it goes. I'm not going to whatever fucking island you went to.
Like, yeah, dude, don't do it. It's a trap because you look online, like you go on this place's Instagram, it's like fucking beautiful white sand, clear water, and you get here and they trap you.
Fire fest.
Yeah, it's a fight. Honestly, this is a fire fest.
You are at Fire Fest Island. Holy shit.
I don't know if we'll be on long enough for the food to get here, but it's resort food. And, like, they feed a lot of Eastern European people who don't like spices. So they just don't put any seasoning on their food. So, like, it's just like a piece of meat cooked and that's it. And it's horrible. It's dog shit.
God damn, bro. Holy fuck. I'm sorry. It's
Italian night. So we'll see how this food I just ordered is.
You said tonight's Italian?
Yeah, so we'll see. I just kept it easy, ordered some mushroom risotto and some, what was it, some sort of gnocchi. We'll see.
God, I'm praying for you, man. That's awful. Holy shit. Well, it's all right. At least you got some kind of stream and you have some kind of Wi-Fi. Hopefully this helps you sleep a little bit.
I have Wi-Fi. So when we were here, we didn't have Wi-Fi, and then this cocksucker puts us in our room and he's like, tells us all his bad things and stuff and all the negative things. And then he goes, oh, and also the hotel would like to offer you free Wi-Fi as a symbol of our gratitude for you. I was like, oh, fucking Wi-Fi. Thanks.
Yeah, dude, what an asshole. What the fuck?
Wow, would you like for me to give you a manicure or something after that? That's fabulous. Thank you, sir. I don't know. What do you want?
And it's free. Like, dude, like, what are you, like, secret password? They it was like on the hidden scrolls, you know, here you go.
They did give me a secret password. It's the name of the island and my room number.
Oh, my gosh.
So if you ever come to Kurdu Island, just put in the name of the island and then type in some room numbers. You'll get some free Wi-Fi.
More like Kurdudu, am I right?
nailed it.
Oh, man. All right, so we talked about – let's transition to a little bit more about some Bears talk. We understand that fucking Nagy and Pace are clueless. And – we brought in a 39-year-old offensive lineman to help solve our problems for a 22-year-old.
That's crazy. What? Yeah, the offensive line is so far from repair that it doesn't make any sense. The other thing that pisses me off more, other than the quarterback situation, is our defense situation. Because like, we've got these guys, like, we traded so much for Khalil Mack, and like, Kyle Fuller was a first round pick for us. Was an all pro bowler for us. And that's what we do when we don't want to pay them. When we're done with them, we just get rid of them.
Yep. Have a great day. Have a great time. Yeah.
And like, Akeem Hicks is what, 36? He doesn't have any more years left. He's got like one more year of being dominant.
One more year. People want him to sign. Khalil Mack's
got like 2-3 more years of being the Khalil Mack he is now, I think. And then even that's a stretch. Because you saw last year, he does get like double teamed and held every single play, and it's ridiculous. But he doesn't have much longer. The only Danny Trevathan's got maybe a year left of being good,
if that. He had the year last year left, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right. He's been on his last leg for probably 2-3 years, and he keeps showing out, so hopefully he can keep doing it. But it's sad to see. We had the number, like, we had the best defense in my eyes. I mean, I'm a little bit, you know, swayed, but the year with the double doink, I mean, we didn't have one hole on defense.
No, and absolutely not. Every hole was filled, and just either offense. It was like the seventh best offense, surprisingly.
Yeah, right. And then we kept that core, the defense, going into the next two years. And now it's like we see Fuller gone, and it's like I think he's the first piece of the puzzle, and it's just going to go downhill from here.
Yeah, it's going to dwindle away. They should have made – here's my hot take. They should have fucking made that trade back to the Raiders when they called. Or called somebody else to see what you can offer.
Honestly, yeah. Yeah.
Not Derek Carr. Excuse my language. What you know what I'm saying? Like, give us an offensive line. Give us something that will help us.
I don't want Derek.
I don't want Derek Carr. I don't know why I said that. I forgot that we had Justin Fields for half a second.
Yeah, right.
And we don't need to pay.
Very confusing.
Yeah. We don't need to pay these fucking any more quarterbacks than we already have. I want to look how much he's owed us in totality.
Who?
Yeah, I want to look how much he's told us in totality for I got a fucking cop's looking at me while I'm driving. Sorry.
Hope Piggy can run.
Nah, he's a fat boy. He's a fat boy. Holy shit. He's like, put down your phone. I was like, yeah. And I just waved him off.
That's what I think is just as sad, if not more sad, than the quarterback situation and Matt Nagy still having a job situation, is that we had such a good defense and it's gonna be just completely disregarded in history and unknown and unnoticed. This because
fucking cocksucker, dude. I just don't understand. How the fuck are you on your fifth quarterback and then you're gonna come out and you're gonna talk to me? You're gonna come and tell me we're gonna keep Dalton for one more year because what are you doing, bro? Like, he sucks. We want him off. Just admit that you made a mistake. Let your fucking pride go. Let us know. Yeah. We all know that you spent $19 million on trash. $10 million on Dalton, $9 million on fucking Foles. Trash. Okay, we get it. But right your wrongs. Stop sticking to your guns and your stupid-ass ego. Nobody thinks you're a quarterback guru. When you were on the Saints, you didn't have to draft any quarterbacks because you had Drew Brees. Go find somebody who knows how to draft a fucking quarterback. Sorry. Oh, my gosh. I get so fucking pissed off, bro. It's so stupid. Yeah, tell him.
It is so stupid.
I just
the worst thing that can happen is Dalton having any form of success in the beginning of the season. That's the worst thing that can happen to us.
Yep, yep.
Like,
say, yeah.
Who are their first like three games against?
Well, I know they're waiting for week two. So week one they have the Rams, and we don't want him right. to go up against Aaron Donald. Okay, look, week three, he's going to be going up against fucking Myles Garrett. Week six, something like that, when they play the Browns.
That's week three. So it's Rams, Bengals, Browns, Lions, Raiders. So out of those five games, 100% Andy Dalton can win at least three of those. He could beat the Bengals, Lions, Raiders.
Right. And you know that Dalton, he wants that game. He's got that circle against the Bengals.
Oh yeah, but and if Dalton goes 3-2 in his first five, he starts another at least two games.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got Packers, Bucks. Hopefully, he loses both of those, and then you got our schedule is insane. Then you got Niners, Steelers.
Hard schedule, sucks.
That's insane. We have a run of Packers, Bucks, Niners, Steelers, Ravens. That's killer.
So, you know how you told Johnny that his girls are fours on their wedding days, right? Uh-huh. I feel like this is exactly what Pace and Nagy are. And I feel like Johnny, because when they drafted Justin Fields, I was like, all right, these guys actually know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's just my goggles are off. My beer goggles are off. And now I'm understanding how fucking wrong I was. How wrong I was.
I mean, I still think they made a good draft pick.
Absolutely. Fell into their laps, dude.
They're just not hitting the draft pick correctly.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So that's half the battle. I mean, you know, you could pick the best team, but if the guys you picked are on the bench, then you didn't pick the best team.
Right. Exactly. Oh, I think that's enough Bears talk. I'm getting depressed. I kind of want to blow my brains out. Let's talk about the Bulls really quick. I have you for a little bit longer. I want to talk about the Bulls. I'm excited about them. Are you a Bulls guy?
I'm definitely more fair weather Bulls. I love to bet basketball. So I watch them more in a gambling perspective than I do because they suck also. So I bet against them a lot. And I bet a lot of player props so I don't cheer against them all the time. But, right. I'm excited for this team. I still don't think it's a championship team. I think it's a fake championship team. I think DeRozan's pretty well. It'll definitely be fun. They'll definitely be in the playoffs. And playoff basketball is
the best.
One of the best, if not. Yeah, I'll still give it to, I don't know, I'm really excited for the White Sox in the playoffs this year. I love playoff baseball. That's more of just like a childhood thing for me. What'd you say?
That's Freud shit, bro. I said that's some Freud shit.
What is?
I'm joking. No, I love fucking October baseball too. it's awesome. Dude, I love it.
October baseball gets me going.
Because it's something about the weather, you know. It's a little bit more chilly. Where you're wrong, you know what I'm saying.
It makes it grittier when you see these guys in turtlenecks and like blown into their hands, because it's not like a fun game anymore. It becomes way more like playing in Chicago in the end of October is not fun.
It's brutal.
it's terrible to get one. Getting a fastball on the inside of the bat in the middle of in the beginning of December or November, or whatever.
Not a fan.
Count me out. I'll put me on the IL. That's it. But yeah, no, I am excited for the Bulls this year. I'm excited to, I definitely think it's a playoff team.
Yeah, it's a playoff team. I don't think I'm going to be betting against them a lot this year. I think since we're talking gambling, I would, since this is the Mikey Bet Show, you know what I mean?
That's right.
Mikey Bet Square. Do against the spread. I'm going to do against the spread all the time on the Bulls this year. Depends on the games, obviously, but I feel like that's going to be my best bet of the year. Last year, I did ATS with the Knicks almost every other game. Bro, I made so much money off the Knicks. It's not even funny. I mean, I used to lose a lot of money off the Knicks too, but I made so much money off the Knicks. It's insane.
I made a lot on player prop bets for the Nets. That you just pick which one, and as long as you pick which one's going to go off that night, if you pick correctly, you win. And also, Blake Griffin pre-trade. They disrespected Blake Griffin so much. His over-under on rebounds every game was, I think, 5.5. And, like, he was pulling down 8 rebounds a night still. So it's I won on him a lot, too.
I don't know if you saw, I placed like a $5 bet one time. I put it on Twitter. This is before. I used to post all my bets all the time. Now I can't because I'm affiliated with a certain I'm affiliated with Bet Rivers. So I could drop that ad right now. Do you use Bet Rivers?
I do use Bet Rivers. I have like 5 apps. So I use whichever one has more money in it.
That makes sense.
But yeah, I definitely use Bet Rivers was the first one that I got, the first app that I got. I think they were the first one out in Illinois.
Well, if you want to make some more money and you want more money in that account, use that promo code MikeyBets and you will get a match bonus up to $250 next time you guys use that. But yeah, like I said, I used to post my bets all the time. You could look on my Instagram at RealMikeyBets and you could see, like, dude, I placed a $2 bet one time. I won like $1,200 off a 14-team playoff prop, bro. It was crazy against Nuggets, Lakers. And then last, like you said, with Blake Griffin, last year for the playoffs, dude, it was like Blake Griffin to get 10 points and the Nets to win.
So much disrespect on Blake Griffin.
Plus 4,000. What the fuck? You know, like, what are you talking about? It doesn't make sense. Yeah. I made $200 off the thing. Like, they didn't, like, so stupid.
Dude, I had – so my craziest bet last year, I was just on – I was on a roll with player prop parlays and just NBA parlays in general. Me and my brother had a system of first-to-score parlays. So you bet the player, and it's crazy good odds. And, like, some people – like, there are a few guys who are the first to score a lot. And – you just like bet like 5 of them and do like different times of games. So like not 2 games that start at the same time, do like different 5 different time slots. And then you just do all 5 of them. And then if the first guy hits, you're looking good. And then if the second guy misses, okay, then you just do the last 2. And it's exactly. We won a lot of money on first to score parlays. And then I got really cocky and I had a good amount of money in my account and I forget who it was. I won on him so much on first to score. Now I can't think who it was. What's his name? Kristaps Porzingis.
Oh, Kristaps. Okay.
Porzingis first to score. And then I parlayed that with Kobe White over 3s. I think it was either 1.5 or 2.5 on 3s. Bulls money line, and the last one was who's the white guy on the Heat, the shooter,
Duncan Robinson or
It was Duncan Robinson. So it was okay. Duncan Robinson over points, which was like I think it was like 14.5 or something like that. And I put like 500 on it. I just was hitting Kobe White. I'd won like 2 days in a row. Kristaps, I'd won like 3 times that year. And the Bulls were playing someone stupid. So I'm Kristaps was the first one, makes the first shot on like a fadeaway 20 footer.
Yeah.
And I was like, let's fucking go. I thought that was the only one I was sweating. So then from there, I was coasting. And then the Bulls were dominating the whole game. But Kobe White, Coby White was 1-3 away, and they were dominating. So it was the fourth quarter, and he was on the bench. And then they brought him back in with 2 minutes left. Garbage time. They were winning by like 20. And Coby White hits a fadeaway corner three. And I I lost my goddamn mind. And then I turn over to the Heat game, and Duncan Robinson is walking to the bench with a minute left, and he's got 2 points short of covering.
And that was it.
It was like it would have paid for my wedding.
Oh my gosh, dude, that's so fucking annoying.
Yeah, that went, because that went from like the highest high, because Coby White hit that three, Bulls 100% knew they covered. Coby White covered, Kristaps covered, and I went crazy because I didn't think Coby White had a chance.
Yeah.
And just to see Duncan Robinson hanging his head, walking to the bench.
Cocksucker, dude. Cocksucker. Oh, man. You'll always remember those.
Yep. Those hurt more than the big wins, for sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, you always will remember the good wins, but you never forget those fucking losses.
You never forget getting stabbed in the heart.
I'm not a big bettor like that. Like, I don't bet over 100. So the biggest bet that I've ever bet was 100. And I mean,
yeah,
I think my payout was like 26 and I lost by one.
I try not to. I do get cocky. Like, I got cocky with the Super Bowl. I won. I made a good amount of money on some stocks. And the whole time I was planning with that money, I was like, I'm just going to save it. And then I'm putting it all on Patrick fucking Mahomes. Here I am.
Fucking A. Patrick Mahomes. You should have told me I put money on the fucking Bucks. I knew they were going to win that game. That defense was way too dominant.
I'm so mad at myself because I was hyped about the Bucks the whole playoffs. I bet them the whole playoffs. That defense is so sick. And I was ready to bet the Bucks, and just honestly, the day of, I was just like, it's Patrick Mahomes. He's so good. And I knew too, what's their left tackle getting hurt. I knew that was going to be a difference maker, and it was. They couldn't protect him.
For me, the last straw that I knew that game was going to the Bucs is that mental, it was just, it got into Andy Reid's head for sure. His son hit hit a family right before the game. Like, literally, remember that? And I was like, dude, this guy is definitely not worried about a fucking Super Bowl right now. He's already won one last year, and now he's worried about his son. Yeah. You know, son's a coach. Everyone's just thrown off their game. And I'm not saying like that's the sole reason, but when you're playing, when you have any mental, like, it was probably Brady. Brady probably like pushed the fucking his car or some shit. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, like, for sure.
Brady
will do anything to win.
Yeah, you can't beat that guy. Like, you cannot beat that guy.
That's the thing too. After the game, it's like it's so easy to look back and be like, 100% the Bucks. Why would you ever bet against Tom Brady? I've never once bet against Tom Brady in my entire life.
That defense
was sick, unbelievably stupid bet. It's so easy to look back and do that, but at the time, it's like, fuck, it's bad.
No, everybody, because you know, everybody hypes it up, and the odds were so close. Everything was so close, and the Bucks were underdogs in that game. You know, they were +170. Yeah, right. I'll never forget it. I had everybody at my house fucking rooting for the Chiefs, and I'm just sitting there like a Dr. Evil, like fucking menace, laughing. You know, I was like, dude, hell yeah, Bucks won. I remember. Do you remember Joey Toya?
Who's Joey? Is that
Yeah, you would recognize his face, but dude, the guy was on his hands and knees. I swear to God, I thought he was praying. He was so drunk, just puking. Oh, it was so bad because he been on the Chiefs. He lost a good chunk of change, you know? It is what it is.
Donnie was the only one with us who bet the Bucks, and that made me even more mad. I hate when he wins and I lose.
Yeah. Oh, good old Johnny. Mm-hmm. Which one's better? Which one would you choose, Mando or Johnny?
Better in what way? Just like as humans?
No. They're both shitty humans. And this is pretty cool because – you don't know this, but Mando is going to be editing this and producing it, but he has no idea that you're the guest. So, bro, when he starts editing, he's going to be like, oh, what the fuck?
Once we're done with this, just give me a call. I'll tell you some really messed up stories about him.
Which one?
Mando.
Oh, please let me know.
He's so creepy and weird.
What else is new, huh? A weird guy, bro.
A better person is probably Mando. Mando actually is really surprisingly good athlete too.
Oh, dude, yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, it is weird. You look at him, he looks just like kind of like a sack of potatoes. But I played basketball with him for the first time not that long ago, and he can play. He can hoop.
Oh, yeah. It's scary, too, because he just looks like, yeah, like you said, a sack of potatoes. Have you ever seen that kid with his shirt off?
Who?
Oh, I don't. I said, have you ever seen that kid with his shirt off?
Yeah, it's disgusting. They both don't look good, dude. So they're giant bats on this island, and they just keep, like, swooping at eye level, but, like, it's terrifying.
Do you think that if you eat that bat, you'll get COVID again?
I think I'll give that bat my COVID.
Do it.
But he wouldn't I could get him back right now. I could get the bat race back right now.
Literally just like, I'm not saying like self-inflict your arm or something, but like cut off like a fingernail or something. Throw it at him, right? Let him eat it. And that's it. That's that. Bats got COVID and we win again.
Yeah, honestly, it is kind of fucked up that the bats have the upper hand on us right now. Like they have I'm not cool with it, them having the last laugh.
Absolutely. Absolutely not. All right, one more question before I let you go. Unfortunately, I have to let you go because I got to get to my job. I would love to stay on here and talk because I feel so bad that you're in where are you at again? Karakuku? Karadudu?
Karadudu.
Karadudu. Karadudu. Okay. One last question. Would you rather eat a Wuhan bat or would you rather have Garpax come back and be a GM for the Bulls next 5 years?
I'll eat that bat.
Yeah. Same. What about Pace and Nagy?
I'd definitely eat the bat there.
Yeah. We eat the bat. Everybody eat the bat. Hashtag eat the bat.
Hashtag eat the bat. COVID isn't that bad, but the Bulls and Bears have been.
True. True. All right. Well, it was a good time. It was a pleasure having you on and, always can't wait to do it again soon. Hopefully now you can actually listen to the show. You said that you wouldn't listen to the show until you're on. So here we are. Now you have to.
That's right. I'll give it the old college try.
All right, brother. I appreciate you and I'll see you next time, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. See you, dude.
No worries.
All right, guys, that concludes our guest for this week. We have a great lineup next week, including one of the Sopranos content creators. It's going to be awesome. I cannot wait. We also have a lot to talk about for week one football. We'll be talking fantasy. We'll be talking beer. We'll be talking bets, bullshit. Whatever you guys want to talk about, we'll be talking about it. Oh, man. I'm so excited for week one football, and I'm so excited to get this fucking preseason out of the way. Until then, I will talk to you guys next week, and it'll be fun. All right, guys, Mikey Betts is out. Easy, ready, willing, overtime. When does it stop? Where do you dare me to draw the line? You got the body, now you want my soul. Light that bun, number 9, count. Don't even think about it, say no, go. Yeah. Yeah. Such a good job, I pat myself on the back. Flight confirmation and cash through the app. Ain't nobody robbing me, I answer doors with a strap. Anywhere I go, I put Southside on the map. Charlie said she loved me, I said I love me back. Tried to cuss me out, I ain't going for that. Niggas say they want my plug so they can order the packs. But I'm addicted to the trap, you never know I relapse, so